And speaking of London neighborhoods, just in case you are planning a trip there, the Book Report is pleased to bring you this. Claire Curry is the publishing director of DK Eyewitness Travel. She spent nearly a decade with the company, overseeing new formats for both Eyewitness Travel and Rough Guides. We'll speak with her today about how to research your trip before you go and tips to maximize your experience when you land. Welcome, Claire. Thanks so much for joining us at the Book Report.
That's my pleasure, Lane.
DK specializes in European travel, is that right?
We have a huge number of European travel guides, but we are pretty global, so we have lots of other destinations too. But we've got a bit of a European focus.
What's the difference between Eyewitness and Rough Guides?
Oh, it's a huge difference. We have quite significantly different audiences. So people are looking for different things in travel guides, obviously, in that people travel very, very differently. The main difference is that the eyewitness guides are massively illustrated. So we're really about showing travelers what they're going to experience when they get to their destination. And it's very kind of visually stimulating and inspiring, I think, definitely. Rough guides are more text-heavy, so really aimed at someone who's quite a serious reader on travel.
Now, does DK target a certain demographic, or is it right for backpackers and more affluent travelers alike?
It's really for anyone who has an interest in traveling. We tend to find that people who have an interest in cultural destinations are really drawn to Eyewitness, because that's a lot of what we focus on. And because we're so heavily illustrated, we can really show all of those amazing cultural points of interest to people. So it's mainly about culture.
So that's why I'm at a bookstore. I'm looking at the shelves of travel books. And why should I select Eyewitness over the others?
I think you should select Eyewitness because, it shows you what you're going to see. So you can envisage what you're going to experience when you get there. It has an amazing marriage of really key practical information, because at the bottom of it, that's why people want a travel guide, is they want that practical information. But the eyewitness guides marry that practicality with being really informative, lots of kind of in-depth information about history and the background of a destination, as well as being inspirational. So it's a great balance.
For travelers of different ages and different budgets, talk a bit about, is there a one season that's better for different ages and groups, or fill us in?
I think in terms of your budget, that's going to really depend on what kind of traveler you are. So if you're traveling with kids, then the chances are you're going to be quite restricted to school vacation time. And as we know, that can be quite an expensive time. Things strangely get somewhat pricier. So that's really about careful budgeting, I think, when you're traveling with a family, and being sure that you're being quite specific about what it is you want to see and kind of targeting those things. I think if you're traveling on your own or in a group with friends or as a couple and you're less restricted, I would definitely recommend traveling outside of those peak periods, not only because it's a bit cheaper, but also because you have a bit more breathing space. You know, there are fewer people around. And sometimes it's nice to see a city or a destination when it's a bit more relaxed and less keyed up for the big tourist season, and when the locals are going around their business in a little bit more of a laid-back fashion.
I've always wondered, how many of your researchers and writers work on one guidebook?
Well, it depends on the size of the destination. So if we're researching a city like London, we would probably have maybe two or three people, because it's quite easy to get around. If we're researching a huge country, somewhere like Brazil, for example, or even if we're looking at Europe, somewhere like Germany, where there's a lot of ground to cover, then we'd have more. So we'd maybe have, 6 to 8 people looking at any one guide.
And how does your staff make the cut of which restaurant to visit, which hotel? I mean, surely you're not looking at all of them. So what are the selection factors?
We really like to give a range, so we like to make sure that we're not just recommending the kind of real cordon bleu, top of the range, really massively expensive restaurants, because we completely understand that not everyone is wants to spend that much money on either eating or staying in kind of huge luxury hotels. So we like to give a range. We also like to look at what's in fashion. Some places will suddenly crop up and everyone will be paying attention to them. And then there are classics. So there are places that have been of a great value or great standard for a really long time and can't be overlooked. So it's kind of a balance. We are really, really independent in terms of how we choose a restaurant or a hotel. And it is down to our researchers and our authors to make sure that they get under the skin of the destination, they find what's new, what's interesting, what's established and can long live. And they make those selections themselves by going and visiting every single one of them.
Hmm. Has European travel changed much over the last couple of years?
I think that there have been kind of peaks and troughs in terms of how Europeans themselves are travelling. We obviously had, over the last few years, we've had a huge burgeoning of very cheap flights. So there's been a lot of movement, a lot more weekend breaking. So people will fly from London to Paris or London to Rome or, kind of internally in Europe. There's been a huge rise in that. But that's starting to tail off now. And that's probably just to do with the kind of economic situation in Europe. But we certainly still see huge numbers of visitors from the United States, and that's very heartening for a lot of those European destinations which are really dependent upon tourism for their economic stability. So we really hope that US travellers are going to continue visiting us.
And what are the up-and-coming destinations, the not quite on the cusp of being massively discovered?
I think if you look at the Baltic countries, so places like Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, they are they're not quite Eastern Europe, they're not quite Western Europe, they're kind of getting up towards Scandinavia, and they're places which don't have a massively well-developed tourist infrastructure. So they're a little bit kind of more tricky to get under the skin of. But, fascinating history, amazing kind of position right in the centre of Europe. So well worth a visit. And the capital cities, places like Tallinn, very easy to navigate, very small, very picturesque, kind of archetypical of what you would expect from that kind of central to Eastern Europe area.
Talk about TripAdvisor for a moment. How do you consider that a competitor or something that's complementary to your books?
Obviously, over the last, 10-ish years, lots of different travel information sources have come to light and are very accessible to travellers. What we feel from the eyewitness perspective is that it's very difficult if you're gathering information online to necessarily know who's dispensing that information, and it's hard to know how well verified it is. And I think if you're reading reviews from users, you kind of have to guess if you trust them or not. And one of the things that we really feel about Eyewitness is that it's a very long established brand. We have many, many people who've had, and they write to us and tell us how fantastic their trips have been using the guide. So we feel that trustworthiness is incredibly important. And if you're, if you're a traveler from the US and you're making a trip to Europe, it's going to cost you a lot of money. It's a long, long way to travel. You want to make sure you're getting the best out of it. So having a travel guide is a fantastic way to give you that kind of basic information and the inspiration you need.
Is Eyewitness ever going to consider an app or digital editions?
We actually do have some apps. So we have, in the Eyewitness series, we have some iBooks. So those are very heavily illustrated as well and available on Apple devices. We also have some apps, and we have a fantastic website at traveldk.com. So we recognise that there are opportunities beyond print, but at the moment our main focus is on continuing to serve our readers in print, because that's what they're demanding most at the moment.
Claire, I want to thank you. I myself use Eyewitness Books when I get across the pond. They are really such a great resource. Thanks so much for joining us today.
That's my great pleasure, Elaine. Thank you.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.